Okay. Don't know what happened there. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Game James, the musicologist A. Reed, and the buff nerd J. Stoggs.
Let's go.
You are in the chop shop. Hey, man, that goddamn intro has some more to it. It took vacation. I guess the intro on spring break, just like me right now. So, hey, I wasn't ready. I'm glad I put my water down because I sure was like, oh. Okay,
so he wasn't ready.
Anyway, what's up, fellas, man? How was everybody's week, man?
Busy, but good.
Good.
I'm above ground.
There it is.
There you go.
You can't freeze like that. I thought your computer was tripping again, but
Not this time. AT&T and I had a long talk. Long chat session.
Oh, was you a part of that too?
This was before
the shutdown? Man.
Before the shutdown. Yeah.
That killed me, bro. I was right at work at 3 o'clock in the morning when mine went down.
Oh,
and I thought, my bill has been paid. What is going on? Bro, it did not come on to my
like
o'clock.
Certain people were like,
I was like,
did I pay my bill? I paid that bill. I paid that one. That one was paid. Boy, we funny, but like that, man. But yeah, it's good, man. Everything is great. Blessed to see another day, man. So, you know, that's how it is.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And to talk with you fellas.
Yeah. Hey, if it's your first time checking us out, please make sure you like, subscribe, smash that bell so you know every time that we are on. The Chop Shop is a show that Jay Stoggs loves to refer to, but we never know when we're gonna make it. So I appreciate the promotion of the Chop Shop.
Always.
I appreciate it even more when we get a chance to get on here and do this. So hey man, without further ado, if you've never been here, man, it's the shop. We come in, we talk about everything that's kind of going on in the sports world and in life, and we kind of take everything from our shows that we did earlier in the week and bring them together for further explanation and talk. And so without further ado, we're going to get into this thing. First and foremost, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. What the hell?
Here we go.
Hey, man, because Reed wasn't on. So I definitely want to get, because Reed, I know, is a boxing buff.
Yeah.
Dogs is a boxing buff. I'm just in the middle, like, I feel like we're watching a bad YouTube video right now. Like Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, the fight of the century, what everyone's wanted to see.
No, it ain't.
Or yeah. Is it?
Ever since he started. Yeah, but I'm going to let A-Reed go for this. Go ahead, man. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, if I had to name my favorite boxer of all time, it is Mike Tyson. I've always loved Mike. I can specifically remember how people used to gather for his fights and just realize that it's about to be over in the first round. You know, for Mike to be as old as he is, and I've seen videos, whatnot, YouTube videos, man still has it, still feared, in my eyes, still feared as one of the hardest hitting people ever in the sport of boxing. But then it comes with the Jake Paul aspect. So then you have to start wondering, is this going to be a payday for Mike? Is this going to be, because I don't care what y'all say, all these Jake Paul fights have been rigged or however you want to call it. Because, I mean, he fights no-namers. He fights people that shouldn't even be in the ring fighting, retired MMA fighters and stuff like that. Because there's a guy to consider himself a real true boxer. I'm not saying that he's not doing the necessary workouts, but he won't fight anybody that's actually in boxing. These people that he's fighting to fight, you know, just for the spectacle of it. Yeah. So for you to just get Mike into that realm, I, for one, am hoping that Mike Tyson does not take the payday, because it to me, it's a lose-lose situation. And that's for Jake Paul. And I say it like this. It's a loss if Jake Jake somehow knocks out Mike, or he ends up winning against Mike. That's a loss because the people will know, like, hey, man, that's bullshit.
Well, real talk. Now, I feel you on that, Reed, and you make a good point that now I want to ask y'all. So if Tyson gets into this ring, granted, he, what'd you say, will be 58 at the time, Stocks?
Yep, mm-hmm. 58.
58 years old at the time of this fight. If, for some God-forsaken reason, Jake Paul lands the knockout of Mike Tyson, does it tarnish or diminish his legacy as a boxer?
I think we'll all know why he like fell down.
Oh, so you doing a Rudy Gobert? You doing a Rudy Gobert right now?
Yeah, to me, I feel like we will all know. Not saying that he doesn't have a puncher's chance, because any boxer has a puncher's chance. But come on, man, Mike has been hit by Lennox Lewis, been hit by Evander Holyfield, Buster Douglas, all of these
Riddick Bowe.
Wonderful names, Riddick Bowe, and it still stood the test of time. You know, they call him Iron Mike for a reason, man. This man has a neck that can take punches, but he can dish punches out as well. I don't know, man. It doesn't sit right in my bones, but I think I speak for myself and a lot of boxing fans, especially a lot of Mike Tyson fans, that we want to see Mike knock the shit out of this boy. just KO the shit out of him.
I mean, here's my thing with it. Mike Tyson's last two professional fights, he lost. A lot of people gloss over that. They don't want to talk about it, don't want to think about it, but it's a fact that he lost his last two professional fights. At the time, I don't think he was physically ready, nor was he mentally ready. And to be honest with you, as a boxer fighter, you have to be emotionally ready. And I just don't think he was in that space. Now I think he is. He's a very different person. If you listen to him on his podcast and other entities that he's been on in media, he's a different person. Now, is the skill there? Is the quickness there? Like we say, he's going to be 58. Jake Paul, 3 decades younger, you know, and that says something. You can say that maybe he's not as fast as Mike Tyson once was, but Jake Paul, he's only lost one professional fight. Granted, who he's fought against, these are MMA fighters. Right. Most of them were ground and pound guys. They were ground technician guys. They weren't strikers or anything like that. But, you know, when he came up against a person that has a pedigree of fighting and was it Tommy Fury?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lost. So it's going to be an interesting fight. As I stated on Big Game Sports Buzz, it's going to matter what the Texas Athletic Commission determines, if this is an exhibition fight or a sanctioned fight where it's going to go on a record.
This can't be no sanctioned bout, bro. Just the whole...
Why not?
Because of the fuckery of it. Excuse my French, man. There's nothing I can take serious about this fight. I mean, you got somebody 27 years old about to fight somebody 57 years old, bro.
Yeah.
And Mike, this is my thing. When I asked y'all the question about if it tarnishes or hurts the reputation of a Mike Tyson, it's clearly because this younger generation, like my kids know Mike Tyson, but they don't know Mike Tyson like we know Mike Tyson, right?
Right.
They know the Hangover Mike Tyson. They know the Mike Tyson in movies. They don't know Mike Tyson punch out Mike Tyson and everybody gathering at somebody's house on a Saturday night to watch Mike Tyson knock somebody out in 30 seconds.
Right.
They don't know that. So, like, realistically, does it ruin his reputation and tarnish his legacy overall? No, it doesn't for us. I think the younger generation was like, oh, man, they talk about this Mike Tyson was a great fighter and Jake Paul just knocked his ass out. Like, why do you run the risk of doing something like that? Like Reed said, is it a payday? Is Mike going to go in with the idea, like, I'm going to take a dive and get paid?
Right.
Not saying Mike needs any money to take a dive. I don't know, man. Like, I smell smoke somewhere with this whole situation, bro. I smell smoke.
So, interesting fact. I think the oldest person to fight win a title was George Foreman. George Foreman was 48.
Right. He was 48. Think about how old they said George was then, Jay.
Yeah.
That's all everybody said.
And, I mean, the honesty of it was, I mean, when you look at him at 48, Tyson looks way better than he does at 58, okay? it's just about what it is.
I mean, yeah.
George he ain't came lying. Back from the,
George he came not back lying. From the biscuit diet and stuff. We understand.
Your question was, and I need to answer that question, will it tarnish his legacy if he loses? Is that correct? Or if he just fights? If he loses?
If he loses the fight, fighting and him winning doesn't hurt anything, I think.
No. I mean, making the fight tarnishes it enough. Let's just stop right there. If he loses, yeah, I think it does. I think it does because this is not a fighter that people take seriously for whatever reason. I'm starting to move towards, you know what? He seems to be serious about this. This does not seem to be something where it's just for promotion. He's been fighting for 4 years, you know, and if you look at the types of fighters, again, that he's fought, okay, but that was the same thing that if you look at Mike Tyson's career when he started, those dudes had no reason to be in the ring, period. Then you put him up against this monster, and I say that with love, but Mike Tyson at 18, 19 years old, I mean, his first 10 fights are scary. I think it tarnishes it. But he will still be my champion of all, you know, he'll still be my GOAT. He'll still be my champion.
I'm right there with you, bro. I'm right there with you. I think the last fight, which was actually an exhibition promotional type thing, was I think the one he had with Roy Jones.
Yes. That was an exhibition. Yeah. I'm talking about section and fight.
And that was an exhibition fight. And even that Roy Jones fight, like we still saw that Tyson still had it.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
There were flashes.
Roy, you know, was there, but
he got on that bike. Listen, he got
Roy hit. Got on that bike after a while.
He got hit. I think it was maybe first round, second round. Mike said, "Okay, we playing, huh? Let me show you how much I'm playing." And he hit him in the solar plexus. Now that's a word some of y'all may not know about. Right, that's your gut, side gut right there, solar plexus. Right, he hit him in that solar plexus. Roy said, "Uh-oh," and got on the bike.
Yes, he did.
He got on the bike.
I'm telling you, I think if Mike catches Jake one good time, especially like you said in that solar plexus in that gut. Yeah. Jake might be on that bike, might be running the rest of that fight, bro. Real talk.
Yeah.
And even to say Jake is trying to show everybody how tough of a guy he is. But again, looking at all the opponents that he's put up against, nobody takes it serious.
But I think that's the issue with Jake Paul is, so at one time, Mayweather was a knockout artist. And a lot of people forget that, right? Mm-hmm. He knocked cats out. And then found out, you know what? I can win without having to do all that. And that's when he became more of a finesse fighter, you know, a finesse boxer, where it's, I'm more defensive. I'm going to let you tire yourself out. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to counter. To me, Jake Paul has not found out what type of fighter he is yet. You know, and it takes time. I get that. But you know, he's got to step up his competition, and I think this is where he starts. You have to have a name to make a real splash, because if he keeps fighting the same type of people that he is, and if he's really serious, no. And he's
does it normally take this long when guys go through the amateur round? Like, if you go old school classic boxing, the way you go mm-hmm. about routing, golden gloves, amateur, then become professional, how long does that normally take? Because I'm really trying to think timeline-wise. Like, if he's been doing it, what, you said 4 years now?
4 years.
Any past the point of seeing what he can do to where he's serious enough about it? To
4 years by now, he should be some sort of rank in mm-hmm. in the class of boxers. Yeah. So he should be, with all the other boxers that are out there, he should be getting fights with these ranked boxers.
That's what I thought.
Trying to make himself go up, you know what I'm saying, to fight for a championship. You're not going to fight a championship fighting these guys and then automatically thinking you can fight Canelo for his belt or something like that. No,
I think when you start looking at the boxing game, and what's crazy about Jake Paul is, realistically, he's fighting his amateur fights professionally. These are amateur fights, right? So when you're coming through the rankings, when you're coming through your career, you have an amateur career first, right? And that's you fighting these types of fighters, guys that, you know, they want to fight, or they're over, quote unquote, over the hill retirement, upon retirement, you know, long in the tooth. You know, that's kind of my favorite phrase, but you know, they've been around. UFC type fighters, stuff like that, former football players that want to get in the ring. You know, they're not there, right? But what you do is you start honing your skills and you start figuring out what type of fighter you are. He doesn't have that amateur background. So now his amateur background is professional. So you can turn professional at 18.
That's the curse of the internet, being able to push you to such popularity.
Yeah.
Where you're putting a product out there that's not even complete product. I mean, there's no way to take this shit serious, because one guy is a kid, basically 27 years old. Mm-hmm. The other one's over the hill champion.
Yeah.
At 58 years old, 57, about to be 58 years old. Mm-hmm. And they want to meet somewhere in the middle. What the hell is this proving? Like, now, like I always say, Jay, don't nobody watching this, if you just tuned in, don't take this shit lightly that I'm thinking like Mike Tyson can't tear somebody ass up. I still believe, like Reed said, he still got some steel in that hand. He still got a little bit of iron in that fist.
Yeah.
It's just what's the risk? Like, what is really the reason you do something like this? Because to me, Mike Tyson has nothing to prove by getting in the ring with a Jake Paul at all.
No, but one of the things that's interesting to note is Jake Paul basically made his name on Mike Tyson's undercard for the Roy Jones fight.
Yeah.
With Nate Robinson, right? And so, he talks about that, you know, the turnaround now of, okay, I was on his undercard. Now I'm fighting the guy who I was on the undercard for. And Mike Tyson is still a name.
Uh-huh. No doubt. I mean, now, I understand why Jake Paul wants to do it.
Yeah, this is
legitimacy. But I'm saying, what does Mike Tyson have to be? And is it legitimacy, though? Because, all right, Jake Paul does for some, he wins.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I knew that boy was good. He beat Mike Tyson. He beat the granddaddy version of Mike Tyson. Yeah. It's not the same thing.
Even if he takes him to a draw, Jake Paul still wins. It still legitimizes him. Because no one is going to say Mike Tyson is a bad fighter, or, you know, they may say, yeah, he's washed, but if he's anything like what he's been putting out in his videos, that adds legitimacy to Jake Paul.
How long ago did Mike Tyson film them videos in his drawers and boots punching back, bro?
I'll say that it will be, if Jake wins, it'll be a mountain of excuses. It'll be a mountain of excuses on Jake's part.
If he wins?
Of why he won the fight. You know what I'm saying? It just be a mountain. Mike is too old. Mm-hmm. Mike is fucking damn near 60.
Mm-hmm.
you know, is going to be, you know, he's not fighting a real fighter. He didn't fight Mike in his prime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to be a mountain of things. So Jake, someone has more to lose in this, in a sense, than Mike does. Like you said, Mike has nothing else that he needs to prove. Even if he was to lose, we still know who our Mike Tyson is.
Right.
You know, everybody right. has to get old at some point in time. You know yep. what I'm saying? But
as we say in the locker room, Father Time is undefeated.
Undefeated. Facts. Undefeated.
Facts. He ain't lost yet.
No, but I still think there is an added degree of legitimacy that is here now, where again, and I hear what you're saying, there's going to be a mountain of excuses. He's too old. He lost a step. He wasn't, you know, Iron Mike of old. He should have fought him 10 years ago or something like that. You know, if he fought him 10 years ago, what would he have done? But again, it still goes back to the state you're in physically, emotionally, you know, and mentally. Mike is there. If Mike loses, you know, but there's still going to be legitimacy. It has to be a sanctioned fight. It cannot be an exhibition. It has to be a sanctioned fight, in my opinion. An exhibition is just whatever, you know, but if it's a real fight, 10 rounds, let's go. Let's
Come on,
go.
Mike, for the people. Mike, for the people, please.
Mike, please. For the people.
But... For the people, Mike. Just do it. Do what we know you're going to do.
I don't think he's going to do it.
I hope so. I hope so.
I don't think he's going to do it like we.
And they're saying they're gonna show it on Netflix.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if you already have Netflix, is it going to be? Do you have to? Hopefully, you ain't got to pay anything or nothing like that. It'd just be a live stream that you could just.
They're probably trying to up their subscription count because they didn't hack everybody being able to share accounts.
Yeah, that part.
Mother love of man. Hey. Not that I was doing that. That's not what
I was. I got about 8 different accounts on my Netflix. Eight different users on my Netflix, bro. Mm. Mm. Hey, Buff Nerd gotta keep people out their house, man.
That's y'all tune the name to it? Y'all gonna watch it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm having a fight party, bro. You kidding me? I'm having a watch party. You invited.
Hey, so we'll be at the Buff Nerd's house for this
one. Let's go. Yeah. Hey. Come on. Hey. Come on. Hey. We'll watch it. Absolutely.
I want to see it, man. Hey, man, I just saw something come up on the screen. And I know we said we're going to talk some NFL stuff. A lot of in the news has been Cam Newton body slamming 7-on-7 coaches, which was funny. Issuing apologies and shit. Didn't lose his hat. That's impressive.
Y'all better leave these NFL players alone, bro.
But hey, man, I just saw this come up. A Kansas City Chiefs fan had a body part amputated, and they said the cause of the amputation was
watching the game,
the playoff game against the Dolphins, where it was -4 degrees with the wind chill. What
yes.
the hell?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is that taking your fandom a little too far?
Frostbite. He must have caught frostbite or something.
Yeah, it was frostbite. It was due to frostbite.
Oh, so was he out there naked?
He did that on his own, then, bro.
Well, there's one report. There's one report of one fan who was putting up the tent outside before the game, and took his gloves off. Had his gloves off for like 10 minutes or so, and now, you know, they got to amputate his hand. Listen, I've been to Kansas City. I know you have too, as well. Big game. It gets cold there, and I think they're amputating not only fingers but probably toes and feet.
Let me go to the store while y'all talking.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going. I'm not. Let it be 30 degrees outside here, and it's an indoor stadium. I'm still not going.
Hold on, dog. It ain't just one. It said several
dozens.
People.
Dozens.
Several people who attended the game.
Dozens.
In the record cold playoff game, had to undergo amputations after Sunday frostbite.
Yes.
A Missouri hospital reported. God damn. They didn't give the exact number, but what? Hold on, man. See?
Yeah.
Dozens. And if you're watching this show for the first time, don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. And I changed my
You said that the second time you said that.
Yeah, because I ain't gonna say it then, Jay. Never mind.
No, say it. This is the Chop Shop. Say it.
Excuse me. This is some white people shit.
Okay, don't say that. don't say that.
Don't. I mean, I feel bad for everybody that had to get a part of a limb or something amputated. But I'm not trying to be funny. I want to go back and see how many. No, I don't. God, dog.
Is he wrong, though?
How many brothers do you think? How many brothers do you think are on the amputee list, Jay Stoggs?
No, okay.
It's going to be one.
And I understand what Big Game is saying. But tell me this, fellas. We have watched plenty of football games, especially when they get in the car. How many black people, how many of them have you seen taking their shirts off in frostbite?
I mean,
in frigid cold temperatures.
I mean,
with their, you know, with their chest painted and everything. Like,
I mean,
you
know,
facts.
Yeah. Okay.
I understand your fan.
That's not something culturally we do.
Jason, the black players don't want to be out there doing that shit.
I'm sure the white players don't either.
Oh, well, I'm just talking about us. I've never asked my white counterparts, like during the time of a cold game.
Your white colleagues.
My white colleagues, excuse me. Or
do you like this? That
hey, would you prefer to go to the locker room right now until it warms up? Hey man, I told y'all the story about Green Bay on Christmas Eve, dog.
Yes.
Hey man, playing in the. Hey, thank you, Jesus, for being drafted and playing in the state of Florida. Oh my God, I was blessed. I didn't have the man. And then when I went to Indianapolis, they played in the dome. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I can't imagine, dude. They said with the wind gusts, the wind chill felt like negative 27 degrees that day.
Right. Yes. Negative 27.
Where my button at? God, dog.
Yeah.
We've all played football in some very chilly weathers, very cold weathers. And I think for the most part, it's always better to be active on the field, you know, moving, running around, stuff like that to get your blood and everything pumping and stuff like that to kind of prevent them things. But when you just sitting on the sideline and just
standing
face them damn elements and you just
drinking
and,
beer
because
you know they were sauced they were already sauced
but you know the wine old thing that the liquor helped heat the body up.
Listen, I'm not gonna say what I was drinking on last night, but I definitely felt warm when I took those several shots. I felt warm. I said, oh okay, I'm warm from the inside out. This is good. I'm just saying, I get it. You know, you warm. cold is too cold. Man.
I just put that out there for the fans that come back.
Yeah, you know, 27, negative 27. For me, 43 and a half degrees. Mm. That's about my limit. 43 and a half.
But none of those are my limits, sir. I'd be next to the heater the whole time.
No, I'm sorry. Let me say it like this. It feels like 43 and a half.
Bro, that is.
I'm of a tropical people, man. I don't do that very well. I will. I've been in places like that where I've had to stand watch and, you know, just kind of be there. But it's not fun. It's not fun at all. And the first thing that got cold were my feet. Mm. You know, were my feet. I had gloves and I had the warmers in there, but my feet.
Feet and hands.
I hate it when it's that cold where your fingers start to fucking burn.
Tingle and burn. Yeah.
I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling.
But Jay, they said, like reading this article said it, the nurse and the doctor, the spokesperson, not the nurse, excuse me, the doctor that was a spokesperson said that more often than not, it has to be at least 30 minutes of exposure for it to be severe damage. Not right. saying that it can't happen shorter. Who was out there with their hands uncovered for more than 30 minutes in that weather?
I mean, dude, the game is 3 hours, right?
They said fans were allowed to have heated blankets and bring cardboard in to place under your feet. Okay, if you have to bring something to sit under your feet at the game, I mean, your ass must go home, dog. I swear to God, I can't make this up. I just read it.
Cardboard. Right.
They said fans were allowed to bring in a certain size piece of cardboard and heated blankets. They says you put the cardboard down between the cold, cold concrete of your feet to help stop some of the cold temperature from getting up into those limbs.
They gonna break dance? What? Cardboard? Come on, man. Stop it.
Hey, man.
I'm gonna have to look that up. So now I'm gonna look up the science on that.
I'm gonna screenshot it and send it to you.
Yeah, I just wanna know the science behind that cardboard. Helps prevent frostbite.
So should the NFL be liable for letting them play a game that cold? So, and their new fans are going to come out?
No.
Nah, that's strictly on the fan?
Yeah. The fan has – the fan – listen, it's just like, fans that sit out in a thunderstorm and they've already told everyone, hey – the game has been postponed and or when it gets to a point of the game is canceled, go home. Go home. Oh, you got struck by lightning? Sorry for your loss. You should have went home. Just read the weather.
Facts. NFL didn't tell them to take their gloves off or take their shirt off.
Yeah.
NFL didn't tell them to do it. They did that.
How much can we allow stupid people to continue to do things in this country and in this world? I mean, it's got to be a point where we draw the line on the stupids.
It sounds good to draw the line on stupid, but those stupid people were driving revenue for the Chiefs and the NFL. So they're not going to cut that shit off. They're not going to stop the money train. Well, they're going to take stupid money.
Not at all.
Well, if you're not going to cut off stupid or stop stupid, then, hey, allow stupid to, do what they need to do. Get them fingers and them cuts. Get it cut off. Get your hands, get your fingers, get your feet cut off. Get your nose, get your ears. Get that cut off. Because I'm sure that was exposed as well. So it's going to be some people in Kansas City walking around with no noses and one ear or no ears.
Obviously, no hands.
No hands and no feet.
No arms.
So...
Will they be
and there's not a lot of really nice-looking Kansas City people anyway, so this is not going to help them.
Oh, you sound like Charles Barkley when he talked about San Antonio.
I know fat women in San Antonio. I know big women. They got no big women on the shack.
That shit was hilarious, dog.
Charles, what you said they got down there? Where they got down there? Shaq, I'm telling you, they got the big women in San Antonio.
Lord
Jesus. That's hilarious.
All right, man. That's all I had to talk about before we got into anyway. He's cracking himself up. That's what it is.
Good thing I'm not an egg.
Man. So hey.
This man here. This is the chop chop, y'all.
Welcome. All right, let's get this shit back under control. Cause yeah. So
what? What?
Hey, we talked about Russell Wilson on our show the other day, Reed.
As did I.
And I was saying, I know you and B did the same thing, man. Talk about it. Expanding on it, I had some conversations last night with some people about, the Steelers fit, and I think that might be a better move. The more I thought about it after Jay Stoggs and I talked, where would you like to see Russell Wilson land? Because it's funny, you and B had a whole lot of spots. I said he shouldn't take Sierra.
Shouldn't go to Vegas. Yeah.
Why not? She might get a residency if she play in Vegas. They
it's
might
the
put
only
them,
way
they
she might, get it.
They might put them goodies on stage and let people come see every weekend.
I'll pay to see it.
And I meant the song clearly when I said the goodies, y'all. Don't be telling Russ I talk about the baby mama.
Man, Russ, dude, Russ is like 5'8". I ain't worried about him.
Yeah.
He's solid, but he a solid 5'8". 5'9" on a good day. With cleats, he's about 5'11".
If there's any place I would want him to see, I'm really waiting to see what Minnesota does. Because if they get rid of Kirk Cousins, I think he'd probably be a good fit over there in Minnesota. I don't necessarily want to see him in the AFC North with the Steelers. Hell, I'd rather him go to New York, to the Giants.
Oh,
then I get
Giants never Giants never came up to me, but I don't see the Giants ever being smart enough to do nothing at the quarterback position. And now Owen Daniel Jones, all that money.
Yep.
Like them into what, a 5-year deal? Mm-hmm. They might be stuck. I do not think they will eat up that cap, that dead cap space like the Broncos did. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else is complaining, man. We just gonna suck for a while.
Yeah. That's it. Build through the draft. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why they're letting Saquon go and saying, you know, we're not gonna pay him. We can get a running back in the draft for far cheaper, with less tread. So, you know, they'll go that route. Minnesota's interesting, but I don't know. They have to have something there, because they don't have anything in the way of a backup that they trust. And
Josh Dobbs can't get it done?
No. Clearly not, because they benched him after, what, a game, two games or something like that?
Yeah.
And they don't have – a high enough draft pick to get a quarterback. Or maybe they do. Maybe they do. They're saying that 6 quarterbacks are going to go in the first round.
That's going to be 5 too many.
Well, then
I'm just playing, dog.
Who's the 5?
I don't even know all who on the board. I mean, they're going to make Drake May and Caleb
Williams.
Caleb Williams.
1-2.
Mike Penix. Your boy.
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. From Michigan. I forgot who else was up. Man, I ain't even got into my draft stuff yet, bro. But something that might shock y'all, I was thinking about that this morning when I was at the gym working out and listening to A. Reed's show. Shout out to the Monday Man Cave. If y'all not checked that out, y'all need to do so. It was a damn good show by Reed. Definitely damn near entertaining. I had some good laughs listening to that shit in the gym this morning. But Jay Stoggs, you said something to me Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Would I want to see Russell Wilson in Tampa if Baker Mayfield could not be re-signed?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't even let you finish the sentence before I said, hell no.
You said no.
I said hell no at first, Reed.
That's what he said. He said
hell no.
Hell no. That's what he said, man.
But
Baker's better than Rush Wilson.
Yeah. This past year he was. In the right type of offense he is. I like him for what he did, Reed. I will say that. But
I give you that. But I'm saying overall.
Why is Russ better? Because he won one championship with Seattle?
Not just that.
Yeah.
We can start there. The defense won that championship. Don't get that shit fooled.
Okay. And how's Tampa Bay's defense right now?
Solid.
Okay. So he has a solid defense like he did in Seattle.
Okay.
He has a solid running back, right? A solid running game like he did in Seattle. Yeah.
Nah, I mean, we still need a little help. Rashad White is getting there. But point being, though, before you mother lovers cut me off.
I
jumped and said hell no right off the rip. And when I thought about it more, Russ might not be a bad fit for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He may not be a bad fit. Depending on what you could put around him and what you need to do, having a receiver like Evans that can go get the ball, having Godwin in the slot, Trey Palmer's coming on like a mug, just re-signed Watkins to 1-year deal. Cade Otton is going to be a good tight end. I mean, he has things around him where he wouldn't have to do too much if you incorporate running game. Now, what's going to happen in Tampa with our new OC coming in from the college ranks, getting back familiar with the NFL ranks? And I think the reason he was brought in was because of what he did play action run-wise to help quarterbacks. they brought him in thinking that Baker was going to be the guy, right? But same stature, same kind of build with a decent resume, Russ might not be a bad fit in the pewter and red, man. The more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I wrote Russ off way too fast. It's saying, hell no.
Let's be honest, gang. Let's be honest.
Wait, can I get a I told you so? Where was that button? Where's the I told you so button, man?
You got to look it up. You don't want to hit it. You don't want to hit it.
You know what? I'm going to get a button.
Hey, your button's at the door. The doorbell just rang. Your button at the door. I'll get that shit later, okay?
Wow. No, but let's be honest, man. Let's be honest. Even before the season, we didn't look at Baker Mayfield as being the future quarterback.
No one did.
He was going to be that glue quarterback guy, you know, to just hold it together until they found something better.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Everybody was praying in Tampa, bro. You're right. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. So now you may possibly have an opportunity to bring in, quite frankly, I still believe a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Not saying that Baker is that bad, because Baker proved a lot to me this past season. Okay. He proved to me he's still a somewhat decent quarterback. Y'all better be happy Mike Evans re-signed. Real talk.
I think they are. We are. Look at it like Tim. We don't need Mike. Trust me. The deal got done because everyone in Tampa, Jason Light, the GM, knew that deal had to happen. Mm-hmm. And also, that was just also another way to try to ensure that Baker wants to come back. If Mike mm-hmm. didn't come back, Baker definitely was going to look to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I think he come back. Now, the only thing I say about this situation, y'all might think I'm crazy. I like the way Baker played. He made me feel better about things, especially as the offense got going, because he and Canales at the time, you know, the GM at the time, who's now the Carolina Panthers head coach, were figuring out things together of what was going to work for that offense. It was a learning curve for both of them. Mm. Baker's still a younger quarterback. I still think that he has some upside. And the only problem that I said when I said hell no the first time is that we would be catching Russ on the back end side of his playing days. But Tom Brady has kind of showed that you can't write off age too fast with quarterbacks. And I said this the other day, people talk like Russ had the worst season ever in Denver, but you look at a certain extent of those games, they were right there in the game, and he didn't play bad at all. Sean Payton made him the scapegoat for his offense not working the way he needed it to work. And I think we've all said that before. Yeah. So, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jason Light, if Baker decides that he wants a little bit more bread somewhere else, and Russ has already said that he's willing to play for a low veteran deal because of the money he's about to get from Denver,
sign it.
Call him.
And that was my point, was that he's already getting his $30 million or $35 from Denver. That's already done. And so he can take that league minimum for this year and maybe even next year, but definitely for that year, and say, look, we're all in on this year. Go into the draft, get better offensive linemen, look for a defensive lineman, shore up that back end of your defense, and make your run. You're going to win the NFC South, in my opinion, if you do that. So that puts you into the tournament. And now you're looking at an NFC East that honestly is just – it's weak, okay? It's just weak.
You said NFC East?
I did. NFC East, that's weak. You know, NFC West – you have San Fran to contend with, and realistically, that's it for the NFC. When you start looking at NFC North, Detroit is coming up, but the jury, in my opinion, is still out on them. There has to be. I know they were close, and I know there were some things. San Fran looked horrible and still beat them. San Fran should not have beaten them, but they did. They shouldn't have won. And in my opinion, San Fran won because Detroit just couldn't.
Do y'all really feel like Russell is on the back end?
I
don't think he's necessarily on his backhand just yet. I just think those years in Denver just kind of put a stint in whatever.
You think it was like you think it was lack of receivers that he had in Denver? Do you think it was more that than it was him?
I think it was a lack of a lot of things. I don't think it was nothing on Russ's part.
And that first year shouldn't even count because I can't remember the goddamn coach name now. He was so bad. That came over from Green Bay as a coordinator. Was it Hackett? Not Hackett. What the hell was up with his name? Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
he had no control over the whole squad.
Yeah,
ownership just changed over from whatever group it was to the Walmart group. They let Russ have too much leeway. Not to say that he couldn't handle it, but sometimes a player needs to be a player. Don't come and do more than what you're supposed to do.
Well,
you might be right, Reed.
But I mean, also, Gabe, right? We talk about culture within the locker room. And so if you have a guy that is running the locker room or in the locker room doing what he's doing the way he is, right? He's got his own office and he's got, you know, his own staff and all. Man, look, are you going to respect him? I tell you like this, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't respect him and say, oh, he's a teammate of mine when I've got to, you know, set an appointment to even talk to this dude.
Somehow He said you had to set an appointment. Hey, Russ, I mean, go check with my secretary. I'll let you know.
Have you checked with my administrative assistant? Go check with them.
That would make me feel some type of
They call it Russ trying to get a meeting.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm.
That would make me feel some type of way.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think if Tampa Bay can be a great place for him, a great fit for I think it's a great fit for him. I think Pittsburgh is not a good fit as much as people think.
Wow. Really?
I don't think it is, man. I just don't see Russ as he doesn't fit the culture for me.
But don't you think veteran leadership is something that they need in Pittsburgh on the offensive side of the ball? He definitely can bring that.
No, because you have Mike Tomlin. Tomlin has proven that he can win with anybody.
Yes, he has.
He didn't win with Kenny Pickett.
He had a winning season, sir.
Still had a winning season. Like in Mitchell Trubisky, dog.
Yeah. So, to that point, that's why I say, do they need veteran leadership? Sure. Okay. Yeah, you always want to have that. But do they need it? No. You got Mike Tomlin who's there to say, listen, this is how this ship runs. Either you're on it or you're off of it, and that's it. Right? And there's a reason why Pittsburgh has only had three coaches in their whole tenure.
Damn. Yeah. All right. All right. Just you.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, no feel like the dark cloud over my head, dog. Goddamn.
No lies told.
I'm just saying, you know, will he
but
go
I still
there?
Think he helped. I still think he helps them more than what they
sure.
have.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And we're talking about better quarterbacks. Like y'all just said, he's better than Baker.
Absolutely.
He's definitely better than the quarterbacks on the Steelers roster right now.
Yes, but like we talked about, he's what, second or third year? Pickett will be in the second or third year, yeah. So he's still on a rookie contract, and they're still trying to figure out if this is the guy for them, and this is the time to figure that out. Russ cannot be a bridge for Pickett for next year when he goes in his fourth year, and then you're trying to decide if you want to pick up his fifth
year. But think about it, Jay. Pickett wasn't a first-round pick. There's nothing that much invested. They could let him go. They lose nothing by cutting Pickett, being on a rookie deal, he wasn't a first-round draft pick.
I understand, but you're still not going to get a top quality quarterback in the draft unless you lose.
And they might lose.
Which they're not going to do
that. They have assets where they move around and trade up for picks if they really need a quarterback following this Russell thing, if they do bring him in.
But see, here's the problem, though. The only asset they have is Watt. That's it.
Mm. And they ain't getting rid of Watt.
And they not getting
TJ Watt ain't going nowhere.
So, and if you pick up Wilson, the issue there is how much is he going to want? right? Because you can't trade him. Because if you try and trade him, everyone's going to say, oh, well, he's on the back end of his career.
But you bring him in, you do a two-year deal, you don't have to trade him. You can still plan on how to get the quarterback of the future while you got a veteran to help run your team and your offense. Hey, dude, look at it. These long-term deals now are starting to be high and dry.
Yeah. Yeah, they front load them. The guaranteed money, you know, the signing bonuses and things of that nature, as they get placed throughout, right, their contracts. But just, I still think Pittsburgh is looking at Pickett as their quarterback for the future right now.
I think they're about to give up on that. I just don't see it.
Possibly, but I don't see. I don't think he's the best fit there. I don't think he's the best
fit. That's the Steelers. We get ready to move on from Kenny Pickett.
We got new sounds for the Top Shop today. Hey, he didn't brought it out.
Goodness. Oh, goodness. Oh, damn. Anyway, man, hey, we coming down to the end of this thing. Some other NFL news, but yeah, hey, we – y'all follow, hey, check out A Read on Monday. Check out Jay Stoggs now on Thursday. We'll touch some more on sources say now the Broncos are about to trade Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. The Broncos about to do one of them home makeover editions. They gutting it down to the studs and getting everything.
It's a fire sale, bro.
They getting rid of everything sale, right there. Yeah. I mean, you look at what they did on defense, the cuts and moves they made. It's a lot going on. But I was gonna ask, Reed, did you have a would you rather?
Of course.
All right. I did this the other day on BGSE Network. I know Jay Stoggs hates these, but I got to ask you guys. I did a one got to go. And my one got to go was wide receiver. It was Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and CeeDee Lamb. One got to go. And I think my answer is going to surprise both of you guys, man.
Chase.
CD.
I knew you were going to. It's nothing against Ja'Marr Chase, but in that, in those four, I'm looking at Chase.
No.
Really?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
You don't get rid of Justin Jefferson.
Why?
Height, speed, hands. I mean, that dude, he's going, and this is with everybody, when healthy, he is the best receiver in the league.
The only one that's been expendable is Tyreek.
I don't think so. He's a Dolphins are different. I said Justin Jefferson, believe it or not. I said Justin Jefferson was the one that I could get rid of. He had a couple games this year, and then also, too, just not that it's his fault, he had no quarterback to help utilize him.
Yeah.
So, like, out of those four, everyone else are big parts. Joe Burrow come back. There's no way he can perform the way he does without Ja'Marr Chase. Chase and Burrow are like stocking caps and waves. They go together. You got to have that shit. You know what I'm saying?
But I think that's the difference is that can a receiver – be a good receiver, maybe not great, but at least a good receiver with a meh quarterback, right? As we talked about in Minnesota, as we saw when Joe Burrow is out, what happens to the Cincinnati Bengals, right? What happens to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and that whole offense? You know, we suffered through, you know, Dak being down. He still performed. And performed well. So he did, and so when you look at it from that standpoint, and it's no knock on Chase, it's not. Ja'Marr Chase is a phenomenal receiver, but in those four that are named, if one had to go, if I had a team and they said, look, we can keep three, one's got to go, it's Ja'Marr Chase for that reason only.
Make a point. I mean, you make a point, but I'm hell no.
He said, you make a point, but hell no.
I mean, think with your mind and not your heart.
No, I am. And I mean, even with Joe being down as he was last season, the backup quarterback, Jake Browning, still came in. And either way, Cincinnati still finished 9-8. They still finished with a winning record, even though, you know, it wasn't good enough to get them in the playoffs. But he still finished with a winning record. Well, shit, he had to do that still with the receivers that he had, T. Higgins.
Right.
With Jamar Chase.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon became a star last season because of the quarterback play and the receiver play. And again, it's not a knock on the receivers, but it's just the fact that even if you have a backup quarterback that's been in that system, are they able to perform, maybe not at the same level, but at a high enough level to say, okay, you know what, we can make a run?
How much greater could CD be if he didn't have Dak? Let's say CD was with Patrick Mahomes and KC. How much more impactful can CD be?
Well, considering Dallas had the number one offense this past season.
No. That's okay. Go ahead.
Considering that Dallas had the number one offense this past season, how much more impactful could he have been? I think he could have been more impactful. It's especially given what they had. Do they still win a Super Bowl? Yes, because of Pat Mahomes.
Dude, CeeDee Lamb is a whole nother receiver in the Kansas City Chiefs offense with that quarterback compared to Dak Prescott.
So would Jamar Chase. So would Mike Evans. So was Tyreek Hill. Like, they're different in the offense.
I gotcha.
Right? And it goes back to that quarterback talk. A quarterback in the right system can be a great quarterback. A quarterback in the wrong system that doesn't highlight his abilities is a bust or a trash quarterback. Period.
That's a good one. That is a very good one.
It's okay.
You're a hater, dude.
I am.
Now, out of all those four, I say Justin Jefferson first, CeeDee Lamb second, Jamar Chase third, Tyreek Hill fourth, in the order I would get rid of.
Justin deserves a better quarterback. No knocking on Kirk Cousins. But he was,
no knock on Kirk Cousins. He sucked these last couple years, bro. Straight up, Justin Jefferson. And these lists are hard because, like you said, why are you making that face, dog? Take your feelings out of it, like you say, and just look at it pure off of talent.
Yeah.
Man, all these dudes are way too talented for us to come up. Because how many people said CeeDee Lamb is not a true number one receiver? He's a number two, and his numbers only got better this year. Mm-hmm. And granted, they did throw the ball still a lot.
They did.
But CeeDee Lamb changed my mind a little bit more this season than he did years past. Because I just knew when I said this list, I was like, Jay Sox saying, I'm going to say CeeDee Lamb. And I was like, it's not CeeDee. And Justin Jefferson is a monster. And is it his fault that Kirk Cousins isn't the quarterback to make his talent shine through and be at the top of his game all the time? Because a year ago when the Vikings went on that win streak and were doing Kirk Cousins got in the ball, he showed what he can do. But certain games this year, looking at certain stats, I was like, he had some moments where even when he was healthy, it was a little bit of a peekaboo act, is what made me say Justin Jefferson out of all those would be the ones that be the one that had to go. That's all.
With Justin Jefferson, it's reminiscent of the stuff that Randy Moss had to kind of go through. Because his quarterback quarterback like Dante Culpepper around the time?
Yeah, one of them.
You know what I'm saying? It's like.
But he also had Chris Carter on the other side.
True, but this is after Chris Carter, when he was just the main guy. You know, who else?
But he played significant amount. He played Chris for a long time.
He did, and then he went, and then he played with Tom Brady. So I mean,
his worst quarterback is when he went out to Oakland and played with the Raiders.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And that was it wasn't Gannon. Was it Gannon?
Yeah, I think it was Gannon.
I think Richie Gannon was the quarterback then.
Yeah. No, it was Cheeks. Gannon was Cheeks. That's my new word. I love it.
just that ass, but it's Cheeks.
Cheeks. You know what I'm talking about.
I get it.
When you look at those four, I still go back to, if you put them and they've all had to play with backups within the past 2 years, how did they respond? Tyreek has responded. He's been that dude wherever he's played. He's just been that guy. So would I love him here? Sure. CD, sure. Justin Jefferson, sure. Ja'Marr Chase, sure. Love to have him. But if we have a backup, if Trey Lance is throwing the ball to them, how well do they do?
It's all depending on the backups. It's all depending on the backup. How well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, time to move on now, though.
That's it.
I mean, I heard Trey Lance's name coming up in trade talks.
Yes, Lord. Trying to get rid of him.
I don't think that's a bad thing to have as a backup, man. No pressure on him. He can learn.
Learn what?
Learn how to play the game.
Wasn't that Shanahan's job? And that was the whole reason that Shanahan traded up to get him?
Man, that's a whole nother topic right there and a whole nother take. Hey, the dude had no film to go off of hardly in college. He had a total of 8 collegiate games, I think it was, to go off of to draft him. That would John Lynch and them dropped the ball on Trey Lance. Oh, not to say he doesn't have talent somewhere, but that was the dumbest shit in the world to move. They're lucky to have gotten back to the Super Bowl with everything else that they've done to mess that whole thing up.
Yeah.
Because they screwed that up straight up.
And Dallas bailed him out. Yeah, and Dallas bailed him out. So here we are.
Well, I think they do be something, and you have to have backups that's of quality. And if there's no pressure on him to come in and do anything, and they didn't give up a whole lot for him.
A fourth rounder.
That's not, yeah, man. Fourth, man.
I told you about the fourth
rounder. Percentage of the fourth rounders that make it, Jay, gone, man. They didn't give up a lot of that because. Name me 3 fourth rounders on your team that are contributing right now that you like, man, I'm glad we got them in the fourth round.
Let's see, I believe Dak was a fourth rounder.
Besides that,
Pollard was a fourth rounder. Tight end that we have was a fourth. Like, we've had fourth rounders dating back like the past 7-8 years that are on the team starting or contributing to the Dallas Cowboys. We've done that. It's uncanny.
So if you miss one this next year because of Trey Lance trade, I'm so sorry I fucked that up for y'all. Okay. Sorry, Trey Lance messed up y'all's run of fourth round draft.
Trust me, it ain't you. It's Jerry. But that's different. That's a whole nother thing.
So anyway, man, it's about that. Hey, Reed, man, hit us with a would you rather, dog.
Yes, to end the show. Would you rather, guys, fellas? Would you rather get knocked out live in front of millions for a huge payday? Or would you rather sabotage a championship game as a ref for a huge payday?
Ooh, I'm going to get knocked out. My integrity, dog. Because I'm cheating somebody else for a payday. That ain't cool. Let me just get my ass knocked. I'll be the laughing stock, but I'll be a rich ass laughing stock.
Man. My wheelchair will be made of solid gold, platinum, and diamonds.
Yeah,
solid gold. Man, and I'm going to have a whole bunch of pleasure givers around me.
You ain't gonna have your money. You ain't gonna have your money long if you got a bunch of pleasure gibbles.
Hey man, if I'm gonna get knocked out, and depending on who's knocking me out, if it's like a Tyson Fury, Mike Tyson type of person in his heyday, yeah, I won't live long. It's okay.
But what if you get brain damage? You can't even enjoy the money you got.
Hey man, I don't know what kind of brain damage that is, but that don't deaden the nerves. Come on, man. Science.
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 Oh my goodness.
Science, man. Yeah, I'm getting knocked out, bro.
Yeah, I get knocked out.
Man, you have a whole nation, like a whole world mad at you.
But they don't know you was on the take.
Bro, like that New Orleans game where it was clearly pass interference in the Rams. Like, that ref? Where is that guy?
That was bad.
Where is that guy? No one has ever heard from him again.
You know why? Chilling. He got his cheddar.
At least he didn't get knocked out.
He didn't get knocked out. He's somewhere with his pleasure givers, but no one will know who he is.
That's fine. You will know who I am, but I got my money.
He's chilling with Tupac and Elvis right now.
Wow.
He can't give his real name. He can't go back to his old life.
So it's now done. he going by the name Curtis.
Rufus.
Curtis Jenkins from 54th Street.
That's it.
Y'all a trip, man.
White dude named Curtis Jackson, 54th Street.
Man, when I saw your name, I just knew you was black, Curtis.
Curtis Jenkins. My mama name is Pearl.
Oh, Father God, the foolishness does not stop in the chop shop. Oh, damn. Reed, you have another one? Is that it?
That's it, man.
That's it. Take us out.
Kind of rush. Man.
No, I feel you. Hey, man, again, thank you, fellas, for coming on, for us being able to do this. For those of you that tuned in, we appreciate it. Hey, you can check out A. Reed on Mondays here, either on BGSE Network or on MCXP Radio on YouTube, also on Facebook and Instagram. You can check out The Buff Nerd and myself on Big Game Sports Buzz Thursdays, 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Hey, if it's late, you're checking us out late, go back through, check the show, get in the comments. I will respond to those comments. Let us know what you think. What would you rather do? Would you rather be a slimy grease ball that takes the payoff, or would you rather get knocked out in front of millions of people on TV like I'm hoping Jake Paul get his ass put to sleep from Mike Tyson?
Anyway, man,
for the musicologist, A. Reed, the Buff Nerd, Jay Stiles.
Let's go.
Big Game. And until next time, peace.
Peace. We'll be right back.